That's the second time we've heard that phrase today. He did not know the Lord. Remember when a new Pharaoh came to power, he did not know the Lord. That simply means they did not recognize him. It is not that they didn't have literal knowledge, but they did not recognize what that meant. And so only a generation after Joshua and his contemporaries died, Israel went into serving idols. Well, after three sermon outlines from Brother J.W. McGarvey the last three Sunday mornings, you should have somewhat of an idea about what kind of preacher he was. He upheld the integrity of the Scriptures, as in the case of defending the integrity of the book of Jonah. He upheld the Bible's teaching on salvation that we talked about last Sunday morning. Why baptism? And he was concerned about scriptural worship, as we saw this morning from his comments on singing and the point, the case against instruments of music being used because they are unauthorized and therefore of sin. Now, last Sunday evening, we talked about authority and restoration, and tonight we want to talk about restoration and apostasy. McGarvey is recounted by most people to be a restorer, as all of us ought to be. Someone might ask, well, why don't you use instruments of music? And in fact, people frequently do ask that. Well, the answer is that we believe in Bible authority, as we talked about this morning. That is to go back to the teachings of the New Testament regarding salvation, regarding the church, regarding acceptable worship. And as we talked about last Sunday evening, when in the time of Josiah, that's what they did. They went back to what was written in the law of Moses to get things right. And if we want to cut through and get around all of the departures that people have made today, the only thing we can do is go back to the New Testament. But instrumental music's not in the New Testament. And you cannot restore what is not there. You can't say, oh, we're restoring New Testament Christianity and then add something to it that is not found in it to begin with. You don't restore the Mona Lisa by adding another person to the masterpiece. That might be very interesting, but it would ruin the masterpiece. You can't restore a painting by adding details. You just can't do it. That would not be a restoration. That would be a change. That would be an alteration. Well, McGarvey knew and understood that principle. Philosopher George Santayana wrote, "Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it." Surely that was the case in the time of Judges, and I don't know if he was basing that observation on something in the Bible or something that he just observed, but it is the case in the Bible, and it could have come from there. Let's look at Judges 2, beginning with verse 13. We read verses 7 through 10 just a few moments ago. Beginning now with verse 13, we read, "They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, so he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked. In obeying the commandments of the Lord, they did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and to bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their own stubborn way. Now, that is what we see as a pattern for the next 300 or so years in Israel. We find them not learning from their past, and so they are condemned to repeat it. They go through this same cycle about seven times or so. Now, to make this point in a more modern way, we'd like to discuss a little bit of history of Brother J.W. McGarvey. You can pass those out now. Try not to get ahead on this brief outline. But in order to see what happens today, you know, we might just take a look at this in the Old Testament and say, well, that's in the Old Testament. I don't see any, you know, is there any relevance there to us? Is there any important principle for us in all of this? That's just how the people of Israel were years ago. You know, as Christians, we're much more enlightened than that. Well, are we? Well, we'll see in a few moments. So this brief history of McGarvey is extended to make a point concerning what we have just read in the book of Judges. And that point is simply this: the same thing can happen today to God's people as what happened then. McGarvey was born in Kentucky, but spent about 8 years or so in Illinois before moving to Alexander Campbell's Bethany College in 1847, where he received excellent training. Alexander Campbell believed that we needed to train young men to preach the gospel. He didn't think that it would just happen without any sense of purpose or any design. So he had a group of boys in his own house and on his property. And he taught them the Bible. And they learned the Bible. They memorized large portions of the scriptures. When they received training from him, they received excellent training. Now in 1850, at the age of 21... McGarvey moved to Missouri and taught in a boys' school for about 4 years before moving to Dover, Missouri, where he married and remained for several years. But when it seemed that the Civil War was imminent, he returned to Kentucky. Now, since he was a pacifist, that had a soothing effect on the congregation in Lexington, Kentucky, and he began to preach for them in 1862. Even though it was a dark time in this nation's history, the congregation there thrived under his preaching and his leadership. The Main Street congregation that he began working with was the fourth largest religious group, period, in the city when he moved there. 5 years later, in 1867, it was the largest congregation of any group in Lexington, Kentucky. He wrote his commentary on Acts while there in 1863, which Brother Guy N. Woods called the greatest uninspired work ever written. In 1864, he wrote the first article ever to appear in Campbell's Millennial Harbinger on the subject of instrumental music. You see, when many people committed themselves to restoring New Testament Christianity, they never used musical instruments because they knew that they were not there. And so all of the congregations in the 1800s sang the same way we do without any musical accompaniment. But there came a time when some wanted to introduce it into the church. Well, he wrote the first article published in the Millennial Harbinger on that subject. Campbell, in fact, had encouraged him to come to Bethany College and teach more than once, but he was committed to Main Street in Lexington. The University of Kentucky moved to Lexington in 1865, and by that I mean the University of Kentucky that we still know and is still in operation. And McGarvey accepted the position of a professor there at that time in the College of the Bible. I know to us that probably seems strange that any university would have a College of the Bible because most of them could care less today about what the Bible teaches or what's in it. But things were different in the 1860s. And so one of their colleges was the College of the Bible. Now, in 1867, he resigned from the Main Street Church in order to have more time for his academic demands because the congregation had grown so much. But he remained an elder in that congregation. The church there continued to flourish, and pretty soon the Main Street congregation began to overflow, and so about 128 people started another congregation in an Odd Fellows Hall, and McGarvey preached the first sermon there on January 1st, 1870. After a building was purchased in July of 1871, this group became known as the Broadway Christian Church. McGarvey agreed to serve both as preacher and elder there. And for the next several decades, McGarvey taught in the classroom as well as writing books and articles, preaching and or being an elder in the Lexington area. He preached at Broadway from 1871 to 1881. The church had grown to nearly 400 by then, so he resigned again, but remained an elder for two more decades in that congregation. In 1894, McGarvey published the only sermon outlines he would ever publish, and his dedication when he wrote that those outlines together in book form read this way: "To the Broadway Church, Lexington, Kentucky, in whose pulpit nearly all these sermons were originally delivered." That is the last three that we have presented on Sunday morning, and many others were originally delivered in the Broadway Church. Continuing the quote, "In whose service I have spent the most useful years of my life as a preacher, and among whose members I count many of my warmest friends. This volume is affectionately inscribed as a token of gratitude for many expressions of Christian fellowship." End of quote. In 1897, McGarvey wrote a history of the Broadway Church, which had now grown to 900 members. Now, however much we might like to say that everyone lived happily ever after, that is unfortunately not the case. The Main Street Church, which McGarvey had nurtured into the largest congregation in Lexington, Kentucky, and had preached at from 1862 to 1867, added instrumental music in 1887. Just 20 years after he left preaching that congregation, they added instrumental music. In fact, Broadway remained the only prominent congregation in the entire state of Kentucky that did not use instruments of music. That's how widespread the apostasy had become by the end of the 19th century. On September 21st, 1902, McGarvey celebrated the 50th anniversary of his preaching. He preached that morning at Broadway and closed the service by resigning from the eldership for health reasons, since he was 73, and the rest of his time he wanted to devote to the College of the Bible. Since 1871, he had preached for 10 years and by 1902 had served as an elder for 20 years. Now notice, we have gone through all of this to get to this point. 6 weeks, about the same amount of time that Moses was up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments when the children of Israel made a golden calf and began to worship it. About that same length of time, 6 weeks after he resigned, it was announced that instrumental music would be put to a vote to be brought in the Broadway congregation. McGarvey served as president of the College of the Bible from 1895 till his death in 1911. So this was a noteworthy event, and the Lexington newspaper devoted at least 3 front page articles to the controversy over instrumental music. The same day the announcement was made, McGarvey and his wife left the Broadway church after 30 years of leadership there. That was November 2nd, 1902. Now, on November 9th, a resolution was introduced to postpone the vote indefinitely, but it failed. The vote managed to be taken 2 weeks later, but since the vote was delayed, the newspaper contacted McGarvey and asked him for a statement of his position. And so he wrote for the newspaper, citing 3 reasons against the introduction of instrumental music. Number 1 was the historical reason, the fact that it was not used by Christians anywhere until AD 757, and then it met with opposition and was not tried again for a couple of hundred years after that. Second, he pointed out that the Jews were accustomed to using it, but in the New Testament, it was not in the church. It was part of the Jewish religion, but it was not in the church. And then the third point is, of course, that it was not authorized by the Scriptures, as we discussed this morning. On November 23rd, the vote was taken. 362 members voted in favor of the instrument, 202 against. The Broadway Church building still stands in Lexington, Kentucky, and it still uses instrumental music. Despite the leadership of a man like McGarvey, you see how quickly a church can become apostate. When McGarvey died in 1911, the Chestnut Street building that he had and his wife had begun attending was too small to be used for his funeral. The Broadway building was undergoing repairs. His funeral was held at the Central Christian Church building. And though McGarvey had plainly, even in the paper, even in his preaching, all of his life opposed instruments of music, they used it for the songs at his funeral. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Is it any wonder that when God introduced the covenant that was given through Moses, that he put quite a few warnings in it for the people? In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Don't forget these things. Verse 23 of Deuteronomy 4. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. Verse 31. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which He swore to them. God remembers the covenants that He made. Do we remember our part? Do we remember in return what we ought to be doing? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. Then beware lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Chapter 8, verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you this day. Verse 14. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and this is part of a much larger section, but you get the point about forgetting. And then verse 19, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that you shall surely perish. And Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 7. Remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day you departed from the land of Egypt until the day you came to this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. So don't forget His covenant. Don't forget His blessings. Don't forget how He punishes you when you do forget. Don't forget those things, but remember them. What we learn is that there is no congregation of the Lord's church anywhere that is safe. Even those who have been taught to respect biblical authority can go astray in a short period of time. Israel departed from even the Ten Commandments, which God spoke to them in 40 days while Moses was up on the mount. The generation departed after the days of Joshua and his contemporaries, and went into the dark period of the judges, where they forsook God again and again and again. Young people and college students and high school students, someday this battle is going to be yours. Be prepared for it. Remember what you have been taught in the Scriptures. There are many who are not going to be around to continue to fight this battle in the next generation or the one after that. And so you need to not forget these principles that we have discussed from the Bible. And you must remember the principle of restoration and needing biblical authority for what we do, teach, and practice. Do not be swayed by the culture on instrumental music, the role of women in the church, or any other thing where the culture has led people to depart from the truth. And lest you think, even after all that we have discussed, that this is not possible, might I point out that there is a congregation not far from here that added instrumental music not too many years ago, and that there is another one over on the coast that added instrumental music about 2 years ago, and that there is another one close by that either has or is strongly thinking about it. Don't assume that people know these things. Don't assume that people are going to hold to these things. We must know what the Bible teaches on this subject, or it could happen anywhere. Let us rather remember the teachings of Christ and the apostles, the teachings of the New Testament that deal with authority. The fact that Jesus said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth," Matthew 28:18. The fact that Colossians 3:17 says, "You must have authority. Everything you do in the, whether you teach it or do it, you do by in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And that means He has to authorize it. If He or the apostles do not authorize it, we cannot do it. We cannot do it. But we do have authority to do what the Bible does tell us to do. We have the authority to tell people to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. We have the authority to tell people we should sing, teaching, speaking, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We have authority to do that. We don't have the authority to drop repentance or baptism off of the plan of salvation, like so many have done. We don't have the authority to add instruments of music, as so many have done. But we do have authority to sing and to please God in that way, and to offer up true and the kind of worship that He desires. This evening, if you have never obeyed the gospel and you know what you need to do, we invite you to do it right now. If you are and already have been baptized for the forgiveness of sins, maybe some of these things have not seemed that important, but they are. You cannot undervalue needing the authority of God for what you do in Christianity. And we must abide by those teachings. If we can help you in any spiritual matter, we invite you to come, or if you need to obey the gospel, come while we stand and while we sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?